Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Let's get down.
Kaya Biz.
Let's get down to business.
On the street.
On the air.
On the air.
Now my biggest spend is electricity and food. And I swear sometimes that, you know, it feels like I'm paying for my whole street. The way electricity is so expensive.
I used to spend a lot of money buying photography equipment. Now, because I've toned down on that business, Kalelini business, the transport, I am spending money on petrol. Petrol and food, because it's strategy. Hardly have time to be home. So the only time it's a car, the rest of the day, strategy.
So, Stombe, now we know what you spend your money on because your name says it all, right? You're a photographer. Thank you so much for sharing your voice note there. Dumza as well. Dumza, I feel your pain, ma'am. Yeah, the cost of electricity is really high. Actually, just the cost of living. I really think, you know, we often joke about it in our generation as millennials and Gen Zs that adulting is tough. And it's expensive. Between the basic responsibilities you need to take care of, you know, your food, your transport, your accommodation, which automatically takes a chunk of anyone's salary, really. Then you have to find ways to save, to invest, to take care of loved ones, to take care of your own priorities. You want to travel and see the world and accumulate assets and have different experiences. So I completely agree with you. Depending on where you are, not only in your phase of life, but obviously in terms of your income, on the resources you might be exposed to, and even the responsibilities you have, the outcomes can be very, very different. So, yeah. But share your reality with us. We spoke to the CEO of Discovery Bank, Hilton Kellner, who a moment ago gave us some insight into their Spend Trend 25 report. And of course, as you can imagine, largely focused on their customer base, which is digital, largely more astute, and of course does actively participate in a lot of the programs they have that are centered around vitality. Vitality in itself, its ethos is shared value. There's an incentive. You get rewarded for your good behavior. And I guess behavior and good habits, rather. It's not from a disciplinary point of view, but just a way of trying to incentivize you into certain levels of behavior. Do share your voice notes with us. We've been talking about a lot tonight. I also tweeted a picture of this Make America Great Again cap. Before we get our next guest on the line and even take some of your voice notes, let me give you context. I've shared this on my Instagram, at Gugumfuphi, on my Twitter too, at Gugumfuphi. And you might recall last year, between September to November, I spent a few months in the US participating in a fellowship with the World Press Institute. And through that, we obviously had the opportunity to visit a wide variety of media houses, actively participate in the shifting landscape of media and journalism, and visited a number of business outlets and other stakeholder groups. What we also got to do, which is a memory etched in my mind, is cover the US elections, where Donald Trump was re-elected. And on the night of the election results, we spent our time first at the Democratic Election Party, or Watch Party is what they refer to it as. And then we made our way to the Republican Watch Party as the results were creeping in. And it was clear that state by state, Donald Trump and the Republicans were gaining ground. And of the, I guess, regalia and memorabilia that was present was a cap. Make America Great Again, the MAGA cap. So it cost me $20 at the time. I think it might be worth a little bit more. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to actually bring this to the studio and share it with a few of my colleagues and share it with you as well. So when I looked inside, because many memes are making their way around social media and actually highlight that this cap is made in China. And the truth is, the large majority of goods that are produced for wear in America are made in China. This one, I'll share the response with you on social media. But truth be told, the label says made in the US. We've checked it many times because I suspect there might have been a made in China label here that's been cut off. But beyond that, the truth is making a cap in America is quite simple. You can do that here in South Africa too. As long as you've got access to the necessary factories, the machinery, the materials, the labor, then you can put a cap, a t-shirt together, a handbag. We do see proudly locally made products, not only in South Africa, but the world over, anywhere you go. The challenge, though, with what Donald Trump is trying to achieve and attain, and using this cap as an example, is that China has scale. It has a competitive advantage on so many ways and so many aspects when it comes to not just caps, but largely the electronic devices that we use. These iPads, phones, laptops, and technology items that we make use of are largely produced in China. Even the large steel infrastructure projects and materials that are required, they're largely beneficiated and processed in China and shipped off to other markets as well, like the US. More so, even automobiles. And we don't need any further proof of that in South Africa. You see the rate at which we see a growing number of Chinese manufactured vehicles on our roads. Think Haval, think Omoda, and a few others that are looking to come into the market. And I guess this cap is such a wonderful example of how the attempts and the efforts of Donald Trump might be noble in terms of trying to create and bolster job opportunities as well as economic growth in the US. But it's how he's going about it that has raised so many questions for members of the global community. Yes, we can try to rejig our trade relationships and trade ties to make sure that they're more equitable. But we do need to understand that it has caused so many ripple effects, not only in terms of the market, raised an understanding of the politics behind all of this, but also how this does influence our pockets at the end of the day as end consumers, whether in America or in South Africa. And anywhere else across the world, one thing's quite certain is that we're all sitting on the edges of our seat to see how this will influence inflation and the cost of living. So, man, we live in interesting times. We will give you some conversations with a few of my colleagues and friends in Minneapolis, just to share their perspective around the lived reality of being an American citizen and within that environment right now during this Trump presidency 2.0. But share your thoughts with us. Keep going. We're happy to get your thoughts, your questions, and your feedback. 063-688-0959. Let's get this follow-up from Gigi Saleh, and happy to take your questions and voice notes going forward for our next conversation.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on 4P.
063-688-0959.
On the street, on the air.
We buy cars. Investment information. It's now another business with the same things happening again. I mean, 92% return on investment. That's where you put your money. You don't put your money into businesses with return on investment that you're not actively seeing. So it informs so much information and advice that a lot of us have been getting as entrepreneurs, which is, you know, you have the business of your dreams, the business that you want to run, and then you have the real businesses that really bring value to the clients. And in this time and in this economy, it is I wouldn't say We Buy Cars is low cost, but it's the lower cost, the more realistic business, the less fluffy business with the, you know, we want to start our businesses with websites, and the real business that's bringing value to the clients is we are seeing, even from the data, the better business to invest in. So that's informing our decisions. Also, thank you for the conversation with the CEO of Discovery Bank. I didn't know that cashless was cheaper, even though it makes so much sense because you don't have to deal with the security companies because you don't have cash on hand inside the stores. I always like to have cash because I always want to be generous. If I want to give money to the car guard, or I feel like I want to give cash or coins or something to someone, but I never thought about offering all the pros and cons of cash versus digital. So I think that's so amazing. That's a great thing to consider when you're running your budget.
Show us the money.
Kaya Biz.
On the street.
On the air.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. As always, we are excited to have you with us and having you join us to do the show as well. So to those of you who have shared your voice notes, Sostombe, Gigi, and Dumza, we love hearing from you. Mobulawa, we haven't forgotten about you either. We've spoken about the market seeing green on our screen and how it's provided a sigh of relief. We've spoken about Trump and the trade war, ongoing tariffs. Guys, it's going to be a long 90 days despite the breather we've had. But ultimately, it's a conversation that we will continue to maintain in the days to come. And of course, we also gave you some insight into Discovery Bank and their spend trend report, which helped us understand our own financial habits and behaviors. Part of the conversation that I also had with Hilton Kellner a moment ago on Discovery was their fast track lane. Now, if you happen to travel quite often at any one of AXA's airports in South Africa, Joburg, Durban, Cape Town, of course, and many others that are around the country and different provinces, you'd be well aware that that fast track lane has saved a lot of people from missing their flights. But something else that we need to be mindful of next time we go to the airport is not just the flights that lift off and land on the runways. It's not just the cargo that's being shifted off to different parts of the world, but It's the commercial areas as well that allow us to pick up our cup of coffees, purchase a book, maybe even clothing items, or even just buy yourself a screen for your cell phone cover. The commercialization of the airport is what we want to talk about, and the business of airports. What is it about an airport that keeps it exciting, vibrant, and provides that energy that we do see within our local airports outside of just catching a flight and making your way through the securities and check-in counters? To tell us more about this is the CEO of AXA, Airports Company of South Africa, Mpumi Mpofu, who joins us now this evening. Such a pleasure to have you with us, ma'am. Such an exciting conversation we're going to have with you tonight, Sis Mpumi.
Good evening, Gugwin. Good evening to your listeners, and thank you for having me, and thanks for the patience. I'm actually in Turkey at an international conference on cargo, the first ever international conference at ICAO on cargo. Very exciting, and really, we've been truly honored to be participating in this. So my apologies for the disconnection earlier on. Our connection from Turkey wasn't very good.
No problem.
But good evening, and thanks for the opportunity.
We are excited to talk to you and are grateful that you've been able to make time for us because, of course, your presence at the conference means that you're keeping business going. And maybe let's just touch on that very briefly before we get into the commercialization of airports. This is important, right, because AXA, in terms of its exposure to the continent, really does move a great amount of cargo, not only in South Africa, but across the continent. So just help us understand, I guess, AXA's positioning, your messaging, and some of the learnings you're looking to get out of the conference in Turkey this week.
Thank you very much for that, Gugu. I think we are positioning OR Tambo particularly at this time as the Africa's hub for cargo. And that really is because of the strength of South Africa and the manufacturing capability and a strong aviation sector. We currently are able to facilitate 450,000 tons of cargo from OR Tambo. Sure. But we are sitting on the dawn of probably one of the most exciting periods ever in South Africa. With our regulated permission, we've been allocated more than 5 billion rands, and we're going to develop a cargo midfield terminal that has an additional 750,000 tons. That takes us up to 1.2 million tons in the first phase, and that's between now, 2025 and 2028. And then the second phase, which is takes us to 2033, is an additional 1 million tons. In total, by 2033, OR Tambo will have 2.2 million tons of a high-technology, best-in-class cargo facility that will be the center of the African continental free trade area, facilitating trade across the entire African continent. Intra-Africa trade, the target is to get us to 50% intra-Africa trade, and we are positioning OR Tambo as one of the airports that are going to enable it across the continent.
100%.
Very exciting indeed. We're growing our cargo business. We've really been focused on passenger, and you'll know, but now it's time for cargo to take its rightful place.
100%. In my mind, I'm already linking this to the current news flow regarding trade and the renegotiations that will take place globally on the back of Donald Trump. I know this isn't the basis of our interview, but I'm sneaking it in there nonetheless, isn't for me. It almost seems as though then the investment you're making into AXA's cargo division, specifically at OR Tambo, fundamentally helps to facilitate trade regardless of where the goods are going. Am I reading this correctly? And how are you interpreting, I guess, the geopolitical noise and the influence it has on your sector?
Well, the geopolitical noise is only going to do one thing. It's going to force us to move very quickly within Africa and trade amongst ourselves, because as it becomes difficult to trade with partners like the USA because of the tariff and the tariff barriers that are being put up, effectively that just induces intra-Africa trade in a way that will satisfy our needs and will foster manufacturing on the continent. And unfortunately, I personally think Mr. Trump has got it all wrong. The direct implication of what he's doing is going to force us to trade amongst ourselves, to remove the dependencies with the USA, to grow the African market, to grow our own aviation sector to the benefit of the African people. So he might have unintended consequences right now that I'm certain have not been foreseen by his strategies that have put forward this very aggressive stance on tariffs in relation to the USA.
100%. I'm so glad that you've given us that perspective just to understand how we are still beefing up our competitive advantage. Okay, that's some of the serious stuff that we've gotten out of the way, but thank you for indulging us on that, Sisimpumi. Back to actually why we called you on the show tonight is because, as you've mentioned, OR Tambo, together with many other airports under AXA, have really focused largely on passenger movements. And we hear of the amazing awards that you typically win, whether it be Cape Town International Airport or Kinshasa, having won some of the best Skytrax Awards in the World Airport Awards for 2025. And we sit back and we ask ourselves, okay, what actually helps or makes an airport win these kind of awards? So maybe add some context in terms of the evaluation criteria and what is okay. part of the competitive advantage that saw you won.
Well, the way the Skytrax Award works is basically they interview more than 100 nationalities in 575 airports across the world, and they really ask the passengers. So in this particular instance, we're absolutely confident because the surveys are done through passengers who experience our entire airport terminal facilitation experience, starting from the check-in points. They go through boarding gates, they go through commercial offerings, they go through the entire passenger journey to boarding gates as they embark on the aircraft. And basically, the passengers rate us across those airports, wherever they're traveling from, to our own airports. We come highly rated, as indicated. We won, Cape Town International won Best Airport in Africa, mm-hmm. Best Cleanest Airport, Best staff, airport staff. I mean, that is an incredible achievement across the board. Kinshasa has been winning that title of best regional airport ever since it was opened.
Oh, wow.
And that is many, many years ago. And in a sense, OR Tambo as well is normally a winner, not on Skytrax, but on the cargo side of the best African cargo airport. This time on Skytrax, because Skytrax doesn't do cargo, they won the best international hotel at the Intercontinental Hotel. Now, a lot of South Africans don't know that AXA owns that Intercontinental Hotel at OR Tambo. We just provided through a contract with a revenue sharing arrangement to a hotel operator in Southern Sun in this instance, and we co-manage it. In fact, it's run through one of our subsidiaries. And therefore, that hotel offering is part of what we call our non-aeronautical revenue generating businesses on the airport platform. Now, the amazing thing about what we're achieving at AXA is that our non-aeronautical revenue constitutes close to 50% of our total revenue compared to our aeronautical revenue. Now, aeronautical revenue is very simply derived from landing fees, parking fees, and passenger tariffs on aircrafts, right?
Yes.
But the non-aeronautical revenue is everything else.
Yes.
And we are running a business where sometimes our non-aeronautical even exceeds our aeronautical. The hotels, the restaurants, the commercial offering, the properties, the transport linkages, everything else that we run.
Yes.
Parking is probably one of our biggest revenue drivers, as is advertising. And basically, that's how we generate the lucrative profits that we are going to continue generating. The business is run on a sound footing, and basically the non-aeronautical side is possibly a winning formula.
Mm-hmm.
No other airport in Africa is able to achieve those levels. I think in terms of revenue split, we're only comparable to big airports like Heathrow, Dubai, London, where the balance between aeronautical and non-aeronautical are as they are now. So we've invested a lot in that. And what is the intention in the future?
Mm-hmm.
That Cape Town will be run on the same basis and Kinshasa as well. So what we're calling the golden triangle of the big airports will all be run on that ideal basis, where an airport is not just a place of transit, but a destination in its own right with commercial offerings, with entertainment, with all sorts of other facilities. In fact, the people that we win awards with globally,
mm-hmm.
Changi is one example. has one of the best airports where the balance between aeronautical and non-aeronautical revenue is similar to ours. So passengers don't want an airport for the purposes of transit into the next generation. They want an experience, they want good food, they want fashion, entertainment, and they really want to enjoy the airport experience. And all of us are running in that direction in order to make airports viable, but also coming out of COVID, it's a survivalist strategy to actually make airports the hubs of economic activity that they already are and take full advantage of growing jobs and opportunities for our people.
I love the detail that you've shared with us because it makes it so practical. And for anyone who's been to an airport of late, they can see that experience. It almost sounds like you're preparing a little Doha airport for us here with a wider range of shopping experiences and I guess retail and other opportunities we can look at. I'm so keen, as you mentioned, that non-aeronautical revenue. That's also what we want to get to because a moment ago we spoke about your partnership with the likes of one of the banks being Discovery Bank and their priority fast track. But beyond that, you also have partnerships with other banks and other airlines in terms of the lounges. And as mentioned, we typically go in, you check in, you sit in the lounge, you enjoy your cup of coffee and a meal, and then you go out and you board your flight. But maybe help us contextualize, you know, even the structure of those partnerships in terms of the lounges and how that also speaks to a whole full value chain of making sure that the produce that we eat, the coffees that we drink, the milk, the sugar, the eggs, there's a whole supply chain and a whole environment actually that needs to take care of that, coupled with the aircon, the furniture, the experience, the cleanliness. Talk us through some of those themes.
Well, let me just start with the issue very specifically of the airports, the airport lounges. I think over the years, we've been able to lease out our airport lounges to many companies that have taken an interest. There's been a surging interest, though, from financial institutions such as banks. As soon as one of them, I won't advertise them, took the opportunity to actually do this, everybody else in the banking industry understood that it provides their top clients with a perfect experience. Mm-hmm. They're able to provide an add-on benefit to their top clients. They started selling this as a product, which basically is very attractive. They had shifts in numbers of people shifting bank accounts mm-hmm. as soon as they understood that they had an airport lounge and they had a lovely experience. And so where we are is we're inundated with interest from most financial services, from most medical aids, from most commercial big enterprises, and everybody wants and space in our airports. What are we doing in response? We are expanding the airport environment. We will be undertaking expansions across all our airports in South Africa with this permission that we've been allocated. I keep saying 21 billion worth, which allows us to do terminal expansions across the board. So OR Tambo, we've already approved projects that will see some of the passenger terminals definitely expanded, and that will introduce more lounge space, more diversification, and offering all of these. The space at the airport is in huge demand, but we're going to go out on tender with everyone, because we sincerely believe in Section 217 of our constitution in South Africa, no favors to any particular company. People will compete, and those who are successful will gain access. This is also to ensure that ordinary South Africans, not just big corporates, are given the opportunity to do this. And that also goes to our commercial offering. A commercial offering in fashion, in shops, in duty-free mm-hmm. is really going to bring exciting experiences. We're big on food. We're big on wine. We're big on arts in South Africa. I'm giving you a tint of what the airport is going to look like in the future. It's going to be an excellent experience. And this revamp program is one that will really change the face of our airports. We've not been able to do this since COVID. We've been waiting in the wings for our regulatory tariff. It's now here. And we want to offer South Africans and our international travelers the best experience they've ever experienced, an African, purely South African experience that you see. And those are just some of the elements that we're looking at on expanding those opportunities. But the important thing to indicate, we'll do that transparently on clean governance, no favors, tender for everyone, and let the best women and men win and get an opportunity in our airports. We'll diversify our parking offering. There's a whole lot of creative arrangements in parking, which allow for different VIP offerings, different car wash issues, etc. Where every product that is there, we're looking at diversifying. But more importantly, on the IT side, our strategy has shifted from recovery and sustain to innovate, grow, and sustain. And the emphasis on innovation is we'll be deploying the best technology on our platforms to enhance that passenger experience, improve efficiencies, but also offer passengers a whole lot of offers that enable them to connect. Just imagine this journey. You leave your house, you get on our app, you order your duty-free product, it's delivered on your seat before you actually depart. The technology is there. We are looking at exciting programs that are actually going to be implemented. And that really should change the nature of the passenger journey as we currently know it, enabled by facial recognition, artificial intelligence, and in certain instances, robotics, which enable us to offer world-class. And that's why we win these awards. When they say we're best in Africa, we shall remain best in Africa for a long time while, because we're making investments that quantum leap us,
yes,
even to amongst the best in the world.
100%. I'm glad that you've edified that, because what we do understand then is that you basically offer space for partnership, whether it be retail or even the banks and other institutions who then use your space in an optimal manner, but still speaks to, I guess, them attracting their clients and customers, but ultimately us as travelers having a viable and a safe experience. And maybe let's also talk about safety for a moment. You've mentioned the investment into IT infrastructure. I will ask about fuel in just a moment, but maybe if we talk about safety, how do we fair in that regard? Because as we've become well aware, there's often a tightened and heightened level of security within our airports. But has that also added to our competitive advantage?
Oh, let me start with safety. In aviation, we tend to separate between safety and security. Okay. On the security side, we do exceptionally well. And basically in South Africa, we've had very few incidences on the security side. And when we do, we have a complex composition integrated effort that comes from our aviation security, the CAA, South African Police, Customs. There's a new entity called Border Management Authority now who also have security responsibilities, crime intelligence, everybody, literally an integrated effort from all our security forces to keep our airports safe. On the safety side, though, I think we have an unprecedented record of no incident in South Africa for the last 3 decades in the scheduled services. Where there are incidences is in the unscheduled services, like the small aircraft, private jets, and small aircraft generally. You'll see the CAA reporting on those minor incidences. Sometimes you have fatalities in that area, but on the scheduled side, where we as airports company are fully responsible, we've literally had no incidents since, let's say, in this dispensation, in this democracy.
Yes.
And that's a phenomenal record on safety, on aviation safety. We've had incursions, which would mean in one instance or two on the platform, you will have aircrafts bumping against each other and small little incidents like that. But in essence, we have almost a 99% record of a clean record on aviation safety on the scheduled services. So both safety and security, I think we've excelled, and in as such, we are audited by various organizations, international organizations as well. ICAO, which is hosting a conference right now, the International Civil Aviation Organization, does an audit on us, both on safety and security, and more on security as well. And they come to us once in 2 years, and they audit us. The CAA, our own CAA in South Africa, audits us, and we really get audited by the Transportation Security Agency of the United States, the Federal Aviation Administration of the United States. And as such, in most instances, if they have findings, we're able to correct them, and we're able to get out with a clean record out of that audit. They come back in a year or two. And that's basically how we operate as Airports Company South Africa.
Gotcha.
Completely unprecedented. We cannot be compared to any other mode in South Africa. We are the safest transport mode. We are the most efficient transport mode. Our on-time performance is in 88% plus, and some of it has been impacted by these incidents. We really could be safely in the 90s in relation to on-time performance. But we've had certain disruptions which have brought us down one day at a time. And when those happen, they bring that percentage down from the 90s into those late 80s. But otherwise, overall, very efficient, the most efficient transport mode.
Definitely. I'm glad that you highlight that, because it also takes us back then to that 21 billion you alluded to in terms of the, I guess, infrastructure support that would be required. Last year, I recall there were concerns about the fuel disruptions or jet fuel supplies or a challenge with the infrastructure. Can you edify a lot more on how you're looking to resolve those challenges for the confidence of South African and international travellers?
Well, let me start with the issue of the incident, which came as a result of a valve that broke down. And that basically is a sign of the piece of infrastructure that broke down in operations and caused delays. In about an hour or so, it had been replaced. But because of the way we operate, delaying flights, particularly in the morning peak, for 1 hour and not refueling them has a knock-on effect for the whole day. And you can imagine that, because we have flight departures every 5 minutes. So if you have flights that are just delayed for 1 hour solid, it really impacts. To recover from that normally takes us the whole day. And we've taken that valve into the labs. They've done thorough analysis. We now have a report that has been finalized. We're just taking it through our governance process. And we will come back to the South African public and indicate what was the cause of the valve that got shattered. Because we owe the public that they were delayed, some of them missed their connecting flights, etc., and we owe them that explanation, and we'll just come out with it and be clear. So there are a number of circumstances that could have led to that: high temperature, acidity, inoperability, but also lack of maintenance, and we will come out and say this is the finding and this is the consequence management that we're taking. The second issue in relation to jet fuel had really very little to do with us. Was a refinery in something called Satrev in Durban was shut down some years ago, and then we had a fire at Natrev, the one that is inland, and the fire was on the 4th of January, and they had to shut down for a scheduled period in order to fix the damage caused by the fire. That created us seeing a dip in our reserves. And normally we keep a reserve of up to about 8 to 10 days of stock of jet fuel on our platform. But when that fire happened and they had a scheduled shutdown, it was quite clear that we were going to dip below our 5 days comfort zone of reserves and go towards 3 days. Mm-hmm. We normally make that public because every day, every part of the world is a passenger that's booking a flight coming to OR Tambo. And we owe them that explanation to indicate realistically that there is a risk that over that period, the airlines involved may face a challenge.
Yes.
And so we made that public announcement in order to also notify airlines so they could take decisions and tap into their own contingencies so that they planned differently, but understood that our normal 5 days worth of supply was going to be circumvented by this fire at Natrev. We're going to go down to 3 days. But I must be able to say, as soon as we got to about 4 days, we had found a solution together. Three vessels had docked in Durban and we had recovered from that. So it was never really a crisis that came out of that. It was a warning that we will may be low on fuel. And every airline basically had to take a decision on the basis of that. So jet fuel overall is going to continue facing a challenge in the country as long as our refining capacity is inadequate. But secondly, as long as we continue to be so import dependent, which is what we've become as a country because of the shutdown of Satrev, the refinery in Durban.
Got you. Sisimpumi, I could speak to you for hours on end. You've helped us have a different understanding of airports. And I guess next time, instead of just rushing off to the check-in counter and pass security, we'll be a little bit more observant about the properties within, around and next to the airport and just how they do contribute to the non-aeronautical revenue of the business and key partnerships that you're looking to embark upon as you expand opportunities at our various airports. Such a pleasure speaking to you. And thank you so much for your time, ma'am. Have a safe to return from Turkey and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for your listeners.
Thank you, Kylie.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Mpumi Mpofu, the CEO of AXA. Typically, we talk to about company results, but sometimes it's always refreshing to get to speak to CEOs about their businesses, what they do, how they do it, and why it ultimately matters. This also influences our knowledge and understanding. So that next time you look at an airport, next time you look at someone's banking behavior, next time you look at Trump and his tariffs, you basically get a different understanding as to how does this impact me? What's the business story behind that dynamic? As I always say, business is never boring. There's a business story in everything.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.